Here we go. Hey there, folks. This is your host, Cameron Ivey of Privacy Please, and thank you so much for tuning in each and every week. If this is your first time, welcome to the show. Tell your friends about it if you like it. If you don't, let's just pretend you didn't listen to it. Thanks again for coming in, and we hope you enjoy the show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Privacy Please. I'm your co-host, Cameron Ivey, and with me, as always, my friend and co-host, Mr. Gabe Gumbs. Gabe, welcome to the new year.
Welcome to 2021. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Yes, always exciting for a new year, always busy. We're happy to be back. This is our first episode back, and this is the 49th episode and a very special one indeed. We have our top listeners' choices of episodes, our top 10 that we have here that we're going to talk about and digest, as well as some honorable mentions. Gabe, do you have anything to talk about before we dive in?
Yeah, no, just to kind of set up the show a bit. So on the last episode, we did predictions for this year. So we figured we'd also then follow that up with the listeners' choices of top shows, give everyone a little rewind into some of the great guests we had on last year and the topics that we covered. So it should be a good one. Let's do it.
Awesome. And to let you guys know, towards the end of the episode, we will always have our fun segments as well. We're going to take snippets of the fun segments from each of these top 10 episodes. So stick around. Anyway, so let's start with the first one in no particular order, episode 27, Sergeant First Class Brittany Connolly. She is a senior recruiter, team lead for the South Carolina National Guard. This was a really fun episode. We talked about Brittany's story, where she came from, how she beat the odds, how quickly she came into privacy concerns after her LinkedIn post went viral.
Yeah, that was a great episode. One of those classic examples of unintended consequences, especially for the privacy uninitiated.
Right.
If I recall, so her initial story was, she was kind of telling a bit about her background online, and it really blew up and folks really paid attention to her story and her message. And it led to, I think, a bit of sharing of information that maybe she didn't really realize how things would be received out there, et cetera. But it was a really fun episode, really great guests. Brittany had some amazing insights and a fabulous personal story. That's one worth going back and listening to in its full entirety for those of you that didn't get a chance to catch Brittany.
Yeah, agreed. Very fun episode. And it was a little different from all of our most of our other episodes, which was really nice. And we're going to try to also have that this year as well, because it just goes to show that privacy kind of goes outside of our realm more often than we think. Indeed. Awesome. So next one.
Mr. Thomas Besore, Esquire, Certified Privacy Advocate. This was episode 40 and another personal favorite. I know the listeners really enjoyed this one, but I'll tell you, I loved having Thomas on. Can't wait to have him back again. He's an attorney by day, certified privacy professional by night. So he actually came upon privacy as more of a focus in his profession throughout the quarantine. So as he was quarantined down with everyone else, lots of folks decided that they were going to take up knitting or start making their own sourdough. Thomas decided to expand his Esquire details from just regular old attorney to privacy professional. And man, was this a great episode to really get into it from someone who comes from what you may have considered originally a layman's background. It really just dived head deep, studying everything he could about it and sharing his insights there. So we talked about his career as an attorney, why he got into privacy during the pandemic, and some fantastic stories around technology. So episode 40, another really good one to go catch.
Yeah, agreed. One of my favorites as well. Just an interesting story, interesting, curious cat Thomas is. And if you haven't heard that episode, please go back and check it out. It is episode 40. on our lists. So anyways, let's move on to the next one. Episode 29, Debbie Reynolds, the data diva.
Diva indeed.
She is awesome. Very, very awesome and nice person and very, very knowledgeable around data privacy. We talked about her story, how she became the data diva, where that name came from, privacy concerns and tips around facial recognition, photo access, clipboard issues. And we also talk about Debbie and how she has special data privacy powers with a hint of invisibility to play pranks on her loved ones.
That was a really, really fun episode. It was awesome. I can't wait to have her back on again. The listeners really love that episode in particular.
Yeah, agreed.
Next on the list is episode 43. So in 43, we had the founder of Envail, Ellison Williams. Envail is a data security company also. Their mission is protecting data in use, more in a compute sense, if you would. But in talking to Ellison, so we talked about her start before getting into data security. Ellison's got a wealth of knowledge and degrees to back it up. I can't even recall the list off the top of my head, but she's an incredibly intelligent, insightful human being. And it was just a great episode to listen to. I love talking to founders of organizations because they're so extremely passionate about what they do. And so there was some really powerful messages in that episode, as well as we talked about her proudest moments in her personal life as well too. So great episode. Love that one quite a bit. Episode 43.
Yeah, very good. A couple of things I take from that one was very professional and, like you said, very passionate and serious about what she does. And obviously, I think you need to be if you're a CEO of a company that you found. So next one is episode 45, Jeremiah Grossman, CEO of BitDiscovery. He's also the founder of White Hat Security, which is very well known in the realm. A world-renowned professional hacker. He's a former Yahoo Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. We dive into that episode as well, which was super interesting. And Gabe knew that about him. They go way back as friends and colleagues as well. He's a published author and an influential blogger, as well as an off-road race car driver. So he's pretty adventurous. Yeah.
I mean, we just talked about CEOs and their passion. You're going to be hard pressed to find someone a bit more passionate about security and application security in particular than Jeremiah is. He's another awesome human being, super insightful to listen to. Jeremiah has been around for quite some time. You mentioned he was a former Yahoo. He was one of the first Yahoo security professionals on that team. Really worth listening into. Catching up on the things he's doing these days with BitDiscovery and just laying out the threat landscape across the internet. So yeah, definitely check out episode 45, a personal friend and an absolute personal favorite episode of mine as well too. And again, the listeners really love this one too.
They did. Next one.
Next on the list, we had episode 34, Jeff Horn, CISO at Order and a member of the Black Hat Review Board. So I was kind of surprised that Jeff and I's paths hadn't crossed a bit more overtly over the years. We've been running in some of the same circles for quite some time. And this show in particular was really exciting to have him on. We talked about his work on the Black Hat Review Board. Really great back and forth conversation. And then his work at SpaceX when he was director of information security there. If you are fascinated at all by information security and technology, especially in general, outside of just pure InfoSec and privacy, I think you'll find this conversation particularly interesting to understand how it is practiced across different verticals. And SpaceX being an aerospace organization, I don't personally get a chance to talk to a lot of folks in that vertical, kind of at a deep technical level. So this was a really good episode, a lot of fun.
Yeah. Just one of those things where, like you said, how is it possible that you guys haven't come into contact with each other with the backgrounds that you both have? And that just goes to show you the amount of people in the space. And that was a very fun episode for me as well. I learned a lot technically in that one as well. So if you ever get a chance, episode 34, Jeff Horn. Next one on the list, episode 25, Dr. Gabriella Zanfortina, or Fortuna. She is the Senior Counsel Future of Privacy Forum. And we also had a special guest on as well from Kent State University, the CISO, Bob Ekman. This episode was very interesting because we got to go back and forth between the two and have, I think it was our first episode with two different guests, one from higher education and obviously in the privacy realm. And I thought it went really, really awesome. You know, we talked about, what was it? We learned about, obviously there's stories in the beginning, but we talked about how we are today, the differences in privacy. We dissected an article that Gabriella wrote around GDPR analysis and guidance for US higher education. So if you haven't listened to this episode, it was really good. Definitely a must listen, episode 25.
That was a particularly good episode. For those of you that are specifically in the higher education space, but even those of you that are not, there's a lot to be learned there. And the research that Gabriella did for the Council of Future of Privacy, which is a great organization, Future Privacy Forum, that research that she did about the impact of GDPR around higher education. It was an insightful episode between her and a CISO of a higher education institution, Bob in this case. Very much worth tuning into episode 25.
Agreed.
Next on the list, episode 23, Ron Gula. And so those of you that have been around the block as long as I have, you'll be familiar with Ron and Ron's work. He was the co-founder of Tenable. Rob's been an investor in the cybersecurity world for quite some time. This was an awesome show as well, too. So we talked about his amazing journey here, his beginnings in the Air Force, the investments he's made in over 50 tech companies at this point, and some of his guilty pleasures as well, too. Worth turning into episode 23, Ron Gula. Fabulous one. Next on the list.
Yeah, that was a good episode. Sorry, I was on mute. Ron was great, and we've obviously made some great connections with him as well in the space, and we had some guests on the podcast. Next one is episode 18, Ed Hudson. He's the CISO at Cal State University, one of the largest, actually the largest university in California, I think in the U.S. as well, right? I don't know. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah, don't quote me either, but it's no small task. Ed's got his hands full over at Cal State, and he had some amazing insights to share too.
Yeah, we talked about just working for a large university, how different it is when it comes to security and privacy. And one of the best answers that, or at least our favorite answer around, if you had $100 to spend on security and privacy, how would you start, or where would you spend it to start first? Yeah. If you haven't heard that episode, it's a good one.
Yeah, we asked that question to a lot of folks. If you only had $100 to spend on security and privacy, where would you spend it? And spoiler alert, I'll give it away. So, because it was one of my favorite answers. Ed's answer was on education posters, right? So security awareness posters for $100. I feel like that's a good return on investment there. So amazing episode. Ed Hudson's a great, fantastic CISO as well too. So check out episode 18 and check him out on social media as well.
Yeah.
Last but not least on our top 10 list, this was a good one. We had Kevin Thomas, New York State Senator, District 6 from New York State. So we had Kevin on because he was instrumental in the New York Privacy Shield Act. And so we had him on to talk about the difference between NY Privacy and – I'm sorry, not New York Privacy, but NY Privacy and the Shield Act. And so we dove deep into the differences between those two and the impact of CCPA had on privacy in the U.S. in general. But really good to get a public policymaker on the show. We spent a lot of time talking to technology professionals, security professionals, and privacy professionals, but getting someone from the public arena to weigh in on all these things that we're doing that ultimately, you know, here at Spear, we always talk about protecting what matters most. It's people. And Kevin's out there in the world doing that on the front lines as a policymaker and a senator in New York State. So great episode. Well received as well, too.
Yeah, agreed. Kevin's very passionate about privacy laws. And it was nice to have his viewpoint on the show. And I know that I'm not sure if anybody follows him on social media, but I had recently seen that he was reelected just recently. So congratulations, Kevin, and keep doing what you're doing because this is why we're having this show. It's important to keep the outreach on data privacy and security.
Indeed. So that was the top 10. It was really, really difficult to pick this list. Cam yes. and I grueled. We slaved over it for a while. We obviously picked out all of the listeners' top choices, but there were so many in it that we really wanted to fit in. We could have done a top 49 list. So there were a few more we wanted to mention, I'll give honorable mention to. Three in particular. Episode 11, Christopher Leach, Senior CISO Advisor at Cisco. Amazing insights. Chris has been in and around security for as long as I can remember, and he's just a wealth of information in driving security at an executive level. He advises other CISOs on behalf of Cisco, and that was a great episode.
Yeah, it really was. It was so long ago because this was a span of, you know, an entire year. So if you guys haven't, any newer listeners, if you haven't listened to it, it's episode 11. Christopher Leach, awesome. We'll probably have him back on maybe sometime this year. We'll see. Next one is episode 24 with James McQuiggan. This was one of our, I would say this was probably one of my favorite episodes. it was extremely fun. We laughed out loud multiple times. And it wasn't just for being nice. It was, and you know, it was just a fun episode, super knowledgeable and awesome, awesome person. James was so fun to have on, and I definitely think he'll be back for another episode.
Yeah, we should ring him up and get him back soon and later. What can I say? I'm just a big fan of James. We go back now a little ways. I met James originally I don't know how many years ago at this point, maybe 6-7 years ago. And we had some really awesome conversations at a security event. And having him on the show was incredible. He's now over at Know Before, spreading security awareness knowledge. And this too was definitely one of my favorite episodes to record and to have James on.
I don't think it had anything to do with all of us having some wine during the episode.
No. Most certainly not. No.
We don't drink. Anyways.
Last but not least on the honorable mention list, got to give a shout out to Mike Santarcangelo, founder and president of Security Catalyst. Mike is hands down one of the most empathetic, intelligent security professionals that I know. And I use that word empathy very intentionally because a lot of times we get caught in the bits and bytes of what we do in the daily grind of it. And we don't always humanize it. And Michael has a way of just making that connection, really understanding people, not just technology. And this was one of my favorite episodes. And again, to your point, Cam, it feels like the show's been on forever at this point, but we put a full year behind us. And this was early on in the show. This was episode number 7.
Right.
We've been promising to have Michael back on. So I think there are more than a few folks that we'll need to bring back on the show, maybe do a couple of panels and bring some folks on. Mike's definitely on that list.
Yeah, agreed. Super knowledgeable, super passionate. And just like all of our guests, all of these guests are just super passionate. And we feel honored to have any of you guys come on. So thank you so much for a wonderful year of interviews and stories and just real people, real stories. That's what this is all about around privacy and security. So thank you, everyone, guest included, and all listeners for joining us on this ride. So that's pretty much it for that list. Stick around for all the fun bits. And we have also to follow up with this episode, we have our very special 50th episode coming up. So get ready for that.
But it's going to be a good one.
Yeah. Absolutely. So thank you all for listening again, and we'll see you next week.
Cheers.
So let's move on to our last section. We'll wrap things up. So Jeremiah, this is our fun section.
Okay. That's
where we get a little more private. Uh-oh. On privacy, please.
I rolled around on the floor with Jer's legs around my neck. I don't know if I can get any more private quite right. Things we didn't mention. He also happens to be a black belt in jiu-jitsu.
Oh, well, there you go. There's your hidden talent that nobody knows about, maybe.
Oh, everybody
knows. Oh, people know.
Okay. Well, I didn't know.
Well, my neck still knows because I am not even a white belt.
Yeah, it's funny. I started training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu about 15 years ago. And during my journey in the first couple of years, I would get, I would go to conferences to do public speaking, and then I would go to different academies and I would train a lot, and I would get black eyes and bloody noses and abrasions on my face. And I would show up to like business meetings and conferences, like I did in like some kind of local fight club, right? And it didn't look very professional. So I had to start telling people and blogging about what I was doing to explain myself. And that had a way of inspiring others to start training. So, people in the industry, I get, because my opinions can be a little controversial, I antagonize people. So I try to make myself available at conferences twice a year for anybody that wants to mix it up and see what happens.
Try to exact their revenge.
it's all fun and games. I do these things every year at Black Hat and RSA called the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Smackdown, where a whole bunch of security professionals get together, everybody from a network engineer to a CISO. And we get together and we train with UFC champions and pro fighters. And we have a fantastic time, actually.
That's awesome.
It's a highlight. And
more things we can't do in a pandemic. I miss those. I miss the SmackDowns.
It's like, this was going to be the 10th year, Dave, the 10th year. So the 10th year will have to be on the 11th year. And Revenge of the Nerds is happening, man. There's a lot of InfoSec people that are high level belts now. Don't mess with them.
I know.
So
for those who don't know, there's actually a lot of really interesting and weird hobbies in InfoSec. There's a lot of folks into martial arts. There's a lot of folks that deadlift. There's a lot of folks into some weird weaponry and stuff. They're like not like AK-47 shit, but like, you know,
like torture stuff.
Yeah. A lot of something about InfoSec brings out the weird in people and maybe even the dangerous, the weird and the dangerous. I love it. It's probably why I'm so at home here. All right, last section, Cam, take it away.
Sorry, you stole one of my pet peeve questions, so we know what that is. Anyways, what's your biggest pet peeve?
I don't know.
Hard one.
I mean, I'm one of those people who like cannot and mouth noises.
I'm with you.
Okay.
I have to literally like remove myself from the table. And so people who chew with their mouth open is like really probably the biggest pet, because I already hate mouth noises. Like you could be sitting next to me chewing with your mouth closed and I'm still just like sitting there twitching a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, the open mouth, like full on conversation, talking to you, chewing things.
Those people are why we can't have nice things in society. Think about this.
That's a good one. Do you think cats have any regrets?
Cats? Oh, no. I mean, like, I have three
cats. I don't think so either.
I am, like, obsessed with cats. But cats, like, will get on a dresser and, like, look you in the eye and knock something off. They'd have zero regrets.
Agreed. The only thing that they maybe might regret is coming over closer to someone that doesn't like cats.
No, they don't.
Are you a cat fan, Gabe?
I actually am. I'm
okay.
A cat fan. I've had more than my fair share coming up on closer. I don't have any at the moment, but you ever get a chance, it's not a plug, not affiliated, but you should check out How to Tell If Your Cat Is Plotting to Kill You by The Oatmeal. It's a fabulous comic. And the answer to that question is yes, your cat is plotting to kill you.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll have to check it out. All right, Brittany, what is your favorite toy from your childhood that you can remember?
Pogs,
yes. See, I knew it. I mentioned that on my last podcast because it was one that I used. Thank you. They came and went very, very quickly.
Yeah, I know. I was just talking about the other day. I'm like, where did Pogs go?
It's funny because we're actually the same age, so that makes perfect sense. I don't know if Gabe ever remembered those, but...
I do remember them, actually. I'm not... Okay. Age isn't that different. Although, the answer to the question, where did Pogs go? The same place that fidget spinners go. They're in the same warehouse waiting for a comeback. Somewhere
they're going to make a comeback. They'll make a comeback. I guarantee that. All right, last... So, Kevin, I'm curious. I don't know if anybody else is curious, but what's the strangest or most positive thing that's happened during this pandemic for you and your family?
Oh, I'll tell you the most positive one here. So once I was voted into office in 2018, my wife was pregnant at the time, and we had our first child 1.5 weeks after my election.
Oh, wow.
So since then, I haven't had much time to spend with her. During this whole COVID shutdown and the stay-at-home approach, I've spent the most time with my daughter than I have since she was born. So that's the silver lining here for the COVID shutdown for me, just getting closer to my daughter.
Yeah, that's so important. That's really, really great to hear. I have a one-year-old as well, and it's been nice being around him more than usual.
Exactly.
What's your favorite snack? What's your go-to?
I have random chips around. That's basically it. Just random Lay's or, cheese puffs. Just
is it that texture?
It's whatever is around, really. I need to get snacks.
Yeah. Awesome. And what's your favorite drink? Alcoholic, non-alcoholic?
Non-alcoholic. I have to keep a level head when I make policy decisions. So I
absolutely.
As sober as possible.
Especially in these hard times.
Yeah, 100%.
Tell us about a talent that you might have that no one really knows about.
Oh, well, my talents involve adventure. I mentioned this earlier, I'm a sailor, and I love to help deliver sailboats across the ocean. And so an interesting talent is that I know how to sail across the Bermuda Triangle and survive. I've done it 3 times on small sailboats with crews of 5 to 7 people. And really? So that's my hidden talent, is my love of adventure, my love of the unknown, my love of solving problems. Because when you're out on the ocean, 750 miles from shore in the middle of a storm, you figure it out. So that's
my terrifying.
That's my fun adventure story and my fun talent story. And I don't do it alone. I do it with people that are a lot smarter than me. You never want to be the smartest one on any adventure.
Does the trackers... Oh, what game? Sorry.
He's certainly not on a boat. No.
Do you have your trackers on? Do they work out there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're satellite-based. It's a blast.
Awesome. Serious question. Can you fold a fitted sheet?
No. Well, yeah, I can fold it in my own way.
Trick question. That's no human. That's where robots come in handy.
That's true. They can
bend. Where did you get that one? Do you have a book of odd questions to confront your guests with?
Pam is the book of odd questions.
Yeah, I try to make it as odd as possible.
I love it. I love it.
This one's good. Would you ever eat ice cream with your hands?
No.
No? Just fingers all up in there?
I mean, if I didn't have a spoon, I'd just dump my whole face into the bowl. Why get your fingers dirty?
I have a weird thing I do. I eat ice cream, and my thing is I'll pour milk on the ice cream, because when the ice cream melts, I don't know, there's something weird about it to me, and I like to have everything stay cold. Does that make sense? It'll get a little warm, but it gets a little icy too. I don't know. I'm weird. This isn't about me. Let's move on to you.
Said it, not us.
See, I'm getting a little too private here, which brings me to this question. I love bringing this up now. It's one of our favorites. With toilet paper, are you an over or under guy?
I have no idea. I really don't care. It's nothing I've ever paid attention to. Do people care about those things?
People care about those things, Thomas.
Really?
He does. Apparently, I found out when I started asking that, that's a big topic for Gabe. That is huge.
I don't know. Maybe it's just something I take for granted. I'm trying to think of how my toilet paper is. It's probably over, but I don't think I would care or notice if it was the other way around.
It's okay. You can go find out. We'll wait. Well, you're right.
That's okay. I think that's too private to share with you. I have to set.
We got all day. It's okay.
I'm a privacy professional. I have to set bounds here.
If you could have any superpower, what would it be and why?
Oh, wow. I think probably invisibility. I think that would be cool. You just kind of go everywhere and like watch stuff or maybe. I'd be a prankster.
People watch.
I'd be a prankster. I like hit people in the back of their head and not knowing what's happening. So.
Sounds like a privacy violation, Debbie. That sounds like a privacy violation.
That's right. But if I was invisible, how would they get me? They wouldn't get me. Yeah. So.
Her privacy and violate everyone else's.
That's right, exactly. That would be the fun of it all.
That's a good one. I think most people would want to have the ability to be invisible because there's just so many funny things that you can do.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Scare people half to death. Yeah, absolutely.
Especially the ones you love.
Yes, absolutely.
That's no more joy than that.
That's right. You got to prank your loved ones always. Yeah, a gift that keeps on giving.
That's right. What did you name your first car?
I have never named a car. Who names cars? I don't.
People do it.
People do
no,
it.
They I name don't. Their boats.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you have money to waste on a boat, I guess you can have time to waste at naming it.
No. I don't have time to name things that I drive. They need to get me from point A to point B, and beyond that, I don't really care.
Fair. What's a secret talent that you have that nobody really knows about?
Well, I think most people know about my talents, at least that I associate with. I would say that most people broadly don't know that I'm such an awesome baker and a major foodie. And my first business ever was a cake business in high school. I sold cakes for people. They loved them. It's great. And then I actually worked in grad school on the side a little bit as an assistant pastry chef in a bakery.
Nice. How do we feel about like cake in a jar? Is that good or bad? Like where does that fall? Yeah, on the continuum of no way would I ever make or sell that.
Does it taste good?
I don't know. I've never touched it, honestly.
Okay. Well, if it tastes good, then I'm going to give it my emoji thumbs up.
And
if
it tastes
bad, then why in the world would you eat something that tastes good? Jar, no jar, plate, whatever.
As long as it tastes good, right? If you were a professional wrestler, what would your entrance song be?
A professional wrestler, my entrance song. I don't know.
It's a tough one, right?
I don't know. Probably some kind of Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin? Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
If you could bring back any fashion, what would it be and what would you rock?
You were asking the wrong person that question. I don't. I give about 2 seconds of thought on a daily basis to fashion. In fact, one of the running jokes for people that know me is I always have on a white shirt and black pants. I'm also colorblind. Not many people know that about me. Back to your previous question. So maybe that plays into it in some way.
Interesting. Now, is it kind of like that approach that do you have like a closet and it's just all white shirts, all black pants? It's just simple. You don't have to think about it.
Yep.
Because you have other things important to figure out.
Correct. Thinking about what I wear for more than 2 seconds is a waste of mental energy, in my humble opinion. There's a whole industry, by the way, would completely disagree with me on that.
I mean, I would completely disagree with you, but that's a different person.
There you go.
Jeez. So
in high school.
Okay. Hey, nothing wrong with that. The nerds are laughing now.
gave me so much crap because I would bring this luggable laptop. It was a Toshiba laptop that had no battery. You had to plug it into the wall. It did have a modem on it. It was a 24 running modem. Orange monochrome screen. I would bring those to like, and they're like, "What are you doing with this?" And I'm like, "I'm IRCing." That's
right. Just, duh. Yeah. Don't make me slap you with a trout.
Duh.
So, what's the funniest thing that's happened to you since the pandemic?
Oh man, the pandemic's been rough. The funniest thing that's happened to me.
Or the strangest.
I mean, I was mowing the lawn this past weekend, and I've got Ring cameras all over my house. So like I'm IoT'd up in my house. And yeah, so there was like, I'm mowing the grass in the backyard and there is a, like, there's a couple grasshoppers out there and I'm loading the grass clippings into a bag. And I feel this, I thought was a, probably a grasshopper or something crawling up my leg. And I looked down and it was a damn like tarantula sized spider. And I screamed and I'm in a seizure. If I like, I my insurance probably would have gone up if I was wearing an Apple Watch. But like, I slapped it off my leg and then just ran around and like looked for it and slumped it. And here's the thing, that is now captured in a race video. It made it funnier. Like, it made it realer. Because, like, oh my God, I just freaked out because of this giant spider. And like, oh, it's on an Amazon cloud instance right now. And I go down.
Did you post it on?
Up like 17 octaves. I was like Mariah Carey whistle register.
Jeff, I don't know how to tell you this, but tarantula sized spiders, those are tarantulas.
I know spiders. It was wolf spider, and I swear it was like that big.
Yeah, those
huge.
Yeah, just call those tarantulas.
As big as it was, big as a tarantula.
Did you post that up?
You got to go back and watch Arachnophobia. Just
Like John Goodman was great in that film, yes. Right?
Did you post that to neighborhood, Ring neighborhood?
I should. Like, so I live in downtown Denver and like really close to City Park and everything. And like my Facebook and Nextdoor have like the nextdoor.com has just been ridiculous. Everybody's just kind of angry at each other and everything. So maybe I should just as a lighthearted, I was attacked fighter, you know, watch a 220 pound man scream and run around the backyard like his hair's on fire.
Someone or just, yeah, I would just say change the title to "There's a giant tarantula on the loose in the neighborhood." Yeah. So yeah. Be on the lookout. Oh, is it me? I'm just kidding. Let's turn the page here and get a little free. So I have some fun questions I want to ask you both. We'll start with Gabriella. And it'll be the same question for you, Bob, as well. So, Gabriella, what is your guilty pleasure?
Oh, goodness. I would have to say ice cream at midnight.
Don't we all have that?
I've been doing that quite a lot in the past months for some reason. I wonder why.
At least it's not something worse. I mean, it could be
worse. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Bob, what about you?
It's honestly grazing. You know, now that I'm at home, I can just between calls, just make my way down to the kitchen and graze my office. And man, I'm telling you, I am eating more than I ever have.
COVID-50.
I was kidding some of my coworkers. We sometimes wear suits at work, and I said, I don't know that I'll be able to fit into any of my.
It's gonna be just break a few buttons. Be good. All right, I got a good one for you. When you were a kid, what was your favorite toy?
So I had Micronauts growing up. Where Micronauts. Okay. Basically, kind of like Legos, but you could take the ships apart and build new ships. And it wasn't necessarily like Legos, but you still had like wings and missiles and engines and the people could bolt on. So I was a big Micronauts fan.
It's funny how that correlates with what you got into with flying and everything. That's so funny. How old were you when you had those?
You know, I guess maybe 8, 9, 10. You know, I got some toys behind me here, including I had a Millennium Falcon. This is
awesome
vintage, you know, 1990s Millennium Falcon. And I had it hanging, but it didn't hang too well. I mean, a lot of people are doing their Zooms from their libraries and whatnot. I'd rather surround myself with the toys I played with rather than the books I read.
My heart weeps, by the way, that it's vintage from the 90s.
Yes.
So I'm a huge Star Trek fan. I think it's, I'm more of that.
I'm sorry,
Star
Wars. That's probably 80s. Holy
cow. That's 80s.
No, I was in high school in the late 80s, so that's got to be early to mid 80s. I apologize.
Oh, wow. I'll do a couple of rapid ones. Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Oh, yeah, both. Both. And quote that's him, fair. Watch him. I'm really looking forward to the next season.
Here's a real question. Windows or Linux?
Wow. So I just downloaded off of Steam the updated Command and Conquer for my Windows gaming laptop. I've got probably 5 Linux servers at the house running various products that we've invested with. And I'm speaking to you on a nice, you know, what is it, 24-inch, you know, iMac. So I don't discriminate. I use all
The judges will count the iMac as a Linux machine for now.
Yeah, that's good.
It is POSIX compliant after all, and I can drop to a shell.
Yep. Oh, that's good.
But I will tell you, my absolute go-to that I reward myself is Fritos.
Fritos?
Fritos.
Regular Fritos or the spicy barbecue?
No, just regular. Don't mess with my Fritos, man. Okay. I'm a purist.
Spicy barbecue. We got
to the twisties, man.
We got to.
Okay. That's a good one, though. Favorite drink?
Adult beverage or?
Whatever you want.
If I'm an Arnold Palmer, but I make it with San Pellegrino lemonade because it's got a little bit of a fizz to it.
Oh, nice. So,
yeah. And,
okay.
You know, after hours, you can maybe add a little bit of an adult beverage to that San Pellegrino.
There you go.
Yeah.
What's the weirdest thing you and your family have done during this COVID-19 pandemic?
The bread has to be really bread making. I'm sure the Amazon Prime, because you can't get flour in the grocery store. So I literally have 10 pounds of artisan whole wheat flour delivered from upstate Washington. And I had this weekend, I made 2 loaves on, I pre-made it on Friday night, cooked it on Saturday. I have 2 different sourdough starters going right now. I've named them Wendy and Ryan. Wendy because the wheat, and Ryan because he's rye. And so I've got 2 different sourdough starters going. I made biscuits yesterday from the discard, and I just took 2 loaves of my first pure sourdough out of the oven about 15 minutes before we started. So I'll be putting some good Kerrygold butter on that when we wrap up here today.
You know, when Cam asks weirdest thing, I'm thinking, Brad, that doesn't sound weird. But then you mentioned it, you named them, and here we are.
I think that was it. I've named myself. Well, they're like pets, right? You feed them every day.
It's true.
I think my dog is getting jealous. I spend more time with my sourdough than with
my dog. Yeah, no. That's
all right. Yeah. It could be weirder. It could definitely be some weirder things. A more serious question for you. If you could end coronavirus by sacrificing one genre of music, what would it be and why country music?
I saw that the other day.
Yes, I had to ask you that.
Oh, my God. I love you know, it's funny. When I moved to Florida, I ended up living in Texas for 3 years when I met my wife. And I moved over there to get married. And when I moved out to Texas, I got into Garth Brooks, and I got into listening to him for a few years. And then I came back, and a friend of mine introduced me to Brad Paisley before Brad Paisley was cool. And I had my country music phase. You know, being in Texas, I had the belt buckle, I had the boots, I never got the hat. If I could get rid of one genre of music, I don't know if it'd be country music. It would probably, I've never been a big fan, and I'm going to get shot for this, but I've never been a big fan of rap music, but I've come to appreciate it over the years.
Sure.
And the message and the things that they did. I just never understood it. I think that was just my problem.
There's only one right answer to this question. Dubstep.
I think that's already dying off anyways.
Dubstep.
Unless, of course, there's a country dubstep, in which case that is the right answer.
There's the right answer. I just wanted to thank all of you out there for tuning in each and every week. And to all of our amazing guests for coming on. I know that there are millions of other shows, and it means the world to have you with us on this journey. We are so grateful that you choose to listen to us each and every week. If you like the show, tell a friend, have them tell their friends, and then maybe make some new friends along the way so we can continue to spread the word and keep learning together. Let's protect what matters most. And by the way, DJ, can you go ahead and drop that outro beat and keep it classy? We'll see y'all next week.